We had a message this morning in the German service about our expectations. It's not just that we're waiting, but we also expect things from the Lord. And we want to talk about Psalm 24, verse 7 and 8. One more time, I'd like to read these verses. Lift up your heads, you gates. Be lifted up, you ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in. Who is this King of glory? Glory, the Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. If you care to write anything down today, or do you want to just kind of listen, it's okay. But finish this sentence with me. My spiritual life would be much better if. And that's a blank. Finish that sentence. If this and this and this and this. My spiritual life would be much better if. I've thought about this question, this sentence, many times. My spiritual life would be much better if there were no temptations, right? My spiritual life would be much better if certain people wouldn't irritate me so much, right? Someone says, well, I could be a lot better pastor if it wasn't for the church. Some churches say, well, we could be a lot better church if it wasn't for the pastor. So it works both ways. But what would make our spiritual life better? It would be better if. My personal answer to that is if I could only have more faith. A faith that can move mountains. That's my desire, to grow in faith. If Christ could make us and our families and our church and our country into what he desires, if he could make us into his image, I think things would be a lot more exciting, right? But it's like something is weighing us down. Something is maybe preventing many of us from moving forward into that image of Christ because we feel so limited and so restricted, and we live by faith and not by sight. Now, some people have it mixed up. Since the word faith starts with F, they put in feelings. They live by feelings and not by sight. That's not what the Bible says. We cannot live by how we always feel. We cannot make our decisions upon everything we feel. Faith sometimes has very little to do with our feelings, but has everything to do with our prayer life and what we decide to believe when it comes to God and his word. It reminds me here of the scene in Bethany as Martha and Mary were having a visit by Jesus. Their brother had died and Jesus wasn't there. And so as Jesus came into town, they met him, and Martha said to Jesus, if you would have been here, my brother wouldn't have died. And maybe this is how we repeatedly ask this question, Lord, if you would have been in this situation, if you would have been here, if you would have been right there to help us, this and this wouldn't have happened. Have you ever thought, if you would have been here, I wouldn't have fallen into sin? I wouldn't have given into temptation? But yet, the scripture says, Jesus is always with us every day. Behold, I will be with you every day and even to the end of the world. Are we ready? And do we expect the King to be present? Lift up, you ancient doors, open the gates. How does this personally relate to us? What gates are there? What fences, what barriers are there that we need to open up for this King of Glory? One of the barriers is definitely unbelief. Another barrier could be that we simply don't have the right perspective of who this King of Glory is, that we may have fear. We may think that, well, I'm not worthy of this King of Glory, and I don't think he even remembers me. I don't think he even cares about me. That's not the case. The King of Glory wants to get into and through our gates, through our ancient doors, whatever the barriers are, that we open those barriers, that we say, King of Glory, come in. I want to embrace everything about you. And then the question is asked, who is this King of Glory? And that's maybe a part of a mystery to a lot of believers. Who is this King of Glory? Who is Jesus to me today? Now, I used to think that I knew who Jesus was, but the longer I live, the more I discover that there's so much more to know about Jesus, of who this King of Glory is. And guess what he wants to do in your life and my life? He wants to put part of his glory into your heart, into your mind, into your life. He wants to shine into us, but also he wants to shine through us with his glory. That's his plan. So who is this King of Glory? He is described as meek and humble. It is hard for rulers nowadays to demonstrate a humble and meek spirit. There's very few rulers that actually have a humble and meek spirit. The world interprets humble and meek as weakness. In recent weeks, we have repeatedly been bombarded with news items about the abuses of powerful people in politics, in the entertainment industry, in the business world. These people had a very arrogant attitude, believing that they were above the rest of the people, above the rules, above decent behavior. That's the world. The scribes and the rulers in Jesus' time, they were not convinced that this could be Jesus, the King of Kings, the King of Glory. They didn't see any glory in Jesus. And this is the gospel. You can have Jesus right in front of you and not see his glory. It's all a personal perspective. It's all if we are opening our gates, our barriers to the King of Glory, and then we will see his glory. But if we don't open up, there is no glory. His glory doesn't do us any good. We got to open up. And a truly meek and humble person, O ruler, understands the will and purpose of God. And that was Jesus. Jesus always knew who had sent him. He knew from whence he had come. And he knew that he was going back to the Father. And this is why Jesus introduces himself to the world and to all his listeners in Matthew chapter 11, verse 29, he says, take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. And we have to ask, and we're so puzzled as believers, why in the world would anyone turn Jesus away if they can find rest for their souls? Because that's what Jesus, the King of Glory, brings, is first and foremost, rest for our souls. You know what that rest looks like? When Jesus has come into your life, when you have accepted him, when you have been washed by the blood of Jesus, your sins are washed away, your sins are all forgiven, and you have peace with God, and you have the assurance of salvation, that is the true rest that the King of Glory gives. And that is part of his glory. Let's never forget that. Forgiveness of sin is part of his glory that he wants to give into every heart. This rest from all this restlessness, this rest from all the worries and all the confusion and all this agony that souls are going through, Jesus wants to give that rest. But who is this King of Glory? People think he is harsh. He's a harsh ruler. They think Jesus demands too much and doesn't give enough. No, Jesus is humble and he's gentle. He will not cast anyone away that comes to him. And if someone opens the door, this is what he says, "Behold, I stand and knock at the door. Whoever hears my voice and opens up," we got to open up from the inside and let the King of Glory come in. If you don't open up, it's no use to celebrate Christmas. It's no use to even sing the beautiful songs that we hear and sing in this Christmas season if you don't open up your hearts. That's what Jesus is saying here. You will find rest for your souls if you open up. He came in the glory of his Father. This glory was of spiritual nature. Nothing really appealing to the flesh and human pride. It doesn't appeal to the human pride. It simply appeals that we yield to God and he lifts our sinfulness and forgives us of all the sins, and then he gives us that rest. 1 John chapter 1, verse 14, we already have this as a part of the memory scripture for this month. The Word was made flesh, and it dwelt among us. Jesus is that Word. And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. His glory is in grace and truth. His glory is in the forgiveness. His glory is in the power that we haven't deserved, that he forgives us all the wrong and gives us eternal life. John chapter 2, verse 11, after he had performed this miracle at the wedding in Cana, he had made water into wine. And that was his first miracle. And the Bible says this was the beginning of miracles Jesus did in Cana of Galilee and manifested forth his glory. And his disciples believed on him. And I pray for this manifestation of the glory of the King of Kings in our midst, in your life and my life. Because that's what we need to hold on to. The glory of the Son of God that manifests himself. In John chapter 11, we have this beautiful story. Well, actually, it was a sad story. It started as a very sad story. Lazarus had died, and Martha and Mary, as I said before, they said, if you would have been here, our brother wouldn't have died. And now Jesus tells Martha, "Did I not tell you that if you would believe, you will see the glory of God?" And that's what it comes down to. God wants us to see his glory. God wants us to open our hearts so much to him in our devotional time, in our time of prayer, to open our hearts to him in such a way that he can definitely give us that glory. Look at the prayer Jesus prayed in John chapter 17, verse 24. Father, I want those you have given me to be with me where I am and to see my glory. The glory you have given me because you loved me before the creation of the world. Often we pervert this glory. We take it for granted. We act like, well, it doesn't really matter. I had forgiveness of sins many years ago and I'm still okay with it. God wants us to see his glory, to behold his glory. Who is this King of glory? Strong and mighty, yes, he gives us victory, he gives us strength, he gives us direction, but he is also humble and meek. What is the purpose of the coming of the King? What was the purpose then? Why did God send his Son? We read in Matthew chapter 21, and oftentimes we read this at Palm Sunday as Jesus came into Jerusalem and he was going to die for mankind. But the first thing that Jesus wanted to do is to cleanse and set things right. There was a lot of disorder that time in the temple, and I want you to picture this. We're supposed to be the temple of God, right? When Jesus entered Jerusalem, he saw this disorder in the temple, this confusion, and there was no clear worshiping God. People couldn't connect to God because there was all these distractions. Because they have neglected the purpose of God's house. They have neglected the purpose of why they were there in the first place. But Jesus came to cleanse and to set things right. Picture this as your heart. Your heart is the temple. And when Jesus sees disorder, he sees confusion, he sees unbelief, he wants to cleanse, he wants to set things right, he wants to set our perspective right. So that we don't despair. He wants to strengthen our faith that there's clear worship in our hearts and our minds. That our hearts become altars of prayer. That there we can worship the Lord with all our hearts, in spirit and in truth. There that God can minister his glory to us. But you got to open up. If we don't open up the gates, there's no healing, there's no miracles, there's no forgiveness. Our bodies, our lives are to be temples of God. And my question is, are you cleansed? Has the King of Glory been able to come in and cleanse your heart and your mind and your perspectives? Has he been able to set things right in your life? Has he been able to sanctify you through and by his grace? Or is your heart still like a den of thieves, as the temple was at that time? See, the King of Glory wants to produce in us fruit of the Spirit. Israel had missed the opportunity to bear fruit for God, as God desired. And they were, in part, they were also unable to do it because they were under the Old Testament law. And it wasn't enough. They needed the Savior. But then when they rejected the Savior as a nation, as the leaders rejected him, they were doomed. And we know the history tells us that Jerusalem was conquered later and many, many people died. Because they had rejected the King. They had not taken away the barriers. Open up, you gates, our text says. Open up the ancient doors. Whatever our traditions may have been, if anything in your heart prevents you from opening to Jesus Christ, go on your knees and pray until that is removed and you can truly receive the things, the King. How do we receive this King? At that time, many people did not receive him at all. They were irritated and agitated by his preaching. They didn't even like his miracles. He could do miracles in front of them and they were still angry. Because, well, it was the sinfulness and darkness of their hearts that made them angry at Christ. And I think Jesus, it hurts him when people ignore him. When we ignore him, when we reject him, when we deny him, it hurts him. Because he shakes his head then and says, you just don't know who I am, do you? Who is this King of glory? Who is Jesus Christ to you? Is he a harsh ruler? Do you have a wrong view, a wrong attitude toward Jesus? Or do you really receive him as the King of glory and says, Lord, put your glory in my life, in my heart. I open myself totally, unreserved to you. In John chapter 1, verse 9 through 11, we read, the true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world, Jesus Christ. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. Here's a problem of recognition. They didn't bother to take the time because they were so bogged down with everything that interfered in their lives. And so many people wait today for a better time when somehow they will not be so busy, they will not be so irritated, they will not be so bombarded with all the demands of life and of work where they can finally be still and pay attention to Jesus. They still wait for that time, but that time will never come if it's not today. Then it says he was in the world. Though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own. He came into his own, but his own did not receive him. Because receiving Jesus, receiving the King of glory, means that we believe in him. It means that we embrace what the Bible says. We stop doubting. We stop all this negative and these arguments about the scripture, whether we should believe the scripture or not. We stop all that. We stop listening to the world. We stop listening to the naysayers and to the doubters. We stop listening to the critics of God's word. We embrace God's word and we believe in him. In verse 12, it says, yet all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. They became new creations. And here's a very important aspect of our faith. Stop waiting until you understand every aspect of the faith in Christ. And start believing first. Because once we believe with all our hearts and we pour out our heart to Christ, we open the gates, we open and put away all barriers from the King of glory, and he comes in, then we will understand. But if you want to understand first with your human limited brain that we have, we will never get there. We got to believe first. This believing is life-changing. We can easily say, well, yeah, I believe, yet we can stay the same like we were before, either grumpy, greedy, hardened, insensitive, and all the like. But if we really believe, the King of Glory will shine his glory into us. Society today tries to desensitize and make us unresponsive to the call of the King. Isn't it crazy what we hear sometimes? In Great Britain, there's a report that I read, a call from certain clergymen that call themselves preachers has gone out to no longer refer to Jesus as he and to no longer refer to Jesus as Lord. Guess what? They're missing the King of Glory. They have rejected him. Because when the King of Glory comes in, he takes authority. He takes charge. And it's he that creates in us the strength to have victory over sin. It's he that creates in us the strength and the grace that we can serve the Lord faithfully. We live in this world, but we're not of this world anymore. There's this beautiful song. I want to read the lyrics to it. I wish I had the notes to it. We would sing it sometime, but I can't find the notes to it. Maybe some of our musicians can relate to it. But I would like to close with this. It's actually sung as a solo. Do you believe in me? Is the question. Do you believe in me and in the words that I say? And in him who sent me from above, do you believe in my love? I've tried so many ways to show you my love and show you who I am. Sometimes I wondered if you're even learned or if you understand. Do you believe in me and in the words that I say? And in him who sent me from above, do you believe in my love? This is my body that is broken for you. Never forget what I've done. This is my blood that is shed for you. This is what makes us one. Do you believe in me and in my love? What a beautiful song. What a question. Do I accept the King of Glory today? Do we let him in? Do we allow the Lord to just visit every aspect of our heart, every room in our heart, and say, Lord, shine your glory in every corner, illuminate me, and help me to live in that glory until the day I die. May the Lord help us to do that. May the Lord bless us in this Advent season as we go forward and let his glory shine into our lives. Amen.